Oh, it was 7 o'clock. All right. Everybody ready?
Just getting into the book JJ got for me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our meeting. Is there any public comment on non-agenda? Oh, meeting's being recorded. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Hearing none, we'll move on. Is there anything on the consent agenda any board member would like pulled for further discussion? If not, I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, is this the State of the Union?
It is.
Okay.
Did we have an April one to approve too? No. Thought we were doing two in a row.
We do have two consent agendas to approve, don't we?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Do we do that?
We do. We have financials
right.
for April.
A full consent agenda for March.
Does anybody want to backtrack on those?
No.
Yeah.
We good?
Sure. Just for the record, it is noted on the agenda that March and April are attached.
Okay, State of the Union. Does any other board member besides the chair want to start, or you want me to give my little State of the Union that I've spent weeks preparing?
Would you like to go to the podium, Mr. Chair?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay. Coming back to track a little bit, I want to mention that Jason was elected by acclamation.
Go, Jason. Congratulations.
The county was busy getting out the ballots for the election, so your oath of office isn't ready yet, so we can do that at the June meeting. And then election board officers
were yeah.
before.
I'm sorry. We have to elect board officers.
Last year, everyone just kept the same office.
Motion to keep it the same?
Second.
JJ?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. This is totally messing with my State of the Union.
Sorry.
Now you have to give an inauguration speech.
Pass that around to the responsible people in this building. Okay, so before we do the State of the Union, let's just go around the room and introduce ourselves for the two volunteers who are here. Starting with you, Ken.
Hi, I'm Ken Vitamin. I'm the secretary.
Hey, he's a darn good one. Jason Jarrett, absolutely nothing.
I want his job.
Pete Geddes, chair.
Justin Miller, vice chair.
Walt Zadek, treasurer.
Ryan Nikolai, fire chief.
And I'm Cheryl, I'm the administrative assistant.
Okay, so I'm going to go to letter B, C in the agenda, skipping letter B. We can come back to that, but just the presentation and discussion of current affairs. So the state of your department is good. Thanks to the fine work of our staff and our volunteers, we thank you very much for serving your community. We deeply appreciate it. Our job, as we've told people year over year, is basically to not screw things up. We try very hard to do that. We try to hire good people and let them do their jobs and keep our eye on the finances to make sure our district residents are getting the most bang for their buck. That's essentially, so I consider it my role. Challenges that we face that we've talked about for years are the cost, as we're going to hear about, of running a fire department. It's just a bloody expensive enterprise. And we've done a very good job of starting to put money away so we can pay for things out of the operating budget rather than asking our voters for essentially tax increases. Those challenges remain and are probably more exaggerated given the current economic climate that we're in. We are also in the very preliminary stages, as you'll see tonight, of trying to get much better informed about what a new station looks like over on Gooch Hill, the site of the Ray station, with the intention that it's a slow-moving process. We don't particularly want to build in this climate. We have some debt still on the books that we'd like to chew through a little bit more, again, to try to keep the cost to our district residents as low as possible, but other board members can chime in. When we do decide to pull that trigger in some years, probably that's going to be a mill levy bond kind of a thing that will need taxpayer support. So having been through that, some of us have the scars of this station. We've learned a lot, and one of the things we've learned is early involvement with the public is really key. But before we can involve the public, we need to know a little bit about what we might be doing. That's the purpose of early engagement that will open some bids on tonight for some architectural services, so the board can ask lots of questions and get better informed. That's it for me. Other board members, would you like to make comments? We'll start with you, Walt.
I'll summarize our financial position, but we'll get into it in a little bit more detail. But, you know, I think this board and staff has done a really good job of managing our finances, and we're doing a good job of positioning ourselves to fund our operating expenses and future capital expenses, and we'll get into the weeds a little bit more on that as we go. But overall, I'd say we're in pretty good shape, and unfortunately, we're in a situation where we have growth in our area, which results in more calls, but it also results in a larger tax base, and so that's helping us meeting our financial needs for the department. So,
Mr. Miller, you got anything to say?
Just happy to be here. Everything's really smooth, and it's a great place to be. No issues, no problems.
JJ?
As you travel around the country, you become more and more grateful for how good we have it here. That being said, we face challenges because even with the most liberal projections of growth and all that, nobody predicted what we were going to run up in the last 15, 20 years. And that is going to put a strain on it at some point, I think. Trying to provide adequate and standard fire protection when it's growing like it is and the economy's doing like it is going to be very challenging. I'm happy that we're in a much better shape than most every place else.
Mr. Kent?
I'm good.
Okay. Any public comment on the State of the Union? All right. Anybody have anything on the bylaws or policies? I sent you a little email suggesting that if you did want something changed, do a little research and bring the specifics to the meeting. So let's just open it up to that. JJ, it looks like you got something.
You're going to make me that guy?
Get your book open there, your fancy green pen.
The invoice processing procedure 5B, it does not allow for any of the 21st century electronic payment stuff that we may do. It says you're going to send it by U.S. Postal Service, and you're going to write a check. And I just wondered if we wanted to loosen that just a skosh to accommodate 21st century kind of, like direct transfers and,
ACH.
What's the staff's opinion on that?
Well, we already do ACH payments, I guess. So I guess we could update that language a little bit.
Just to be inclusive, I don't care if it's specific, but just to allow that, because right now you're out of policy.
Can we receive ACH payments?
No, well, because everything goes through the county. So that's our hiccup. All the warrants, we write the check and then it goes through the county.
Wow. So when people pay their bill to us, for services, they pay the county?
They pay their taxes.
Well, the patients that we're gonna we transport now. Yeah. How's that system set up?
Do you wanna talk about that? Okay, so it will go through our billing company, Pintler Billing, and they'll
process the payments, then they send us a check.
Or they will direct deposit into
ACH then.
Our account, yeah.
So
Unfortunately, I haven't, the county doesn't allow me to make any payments electronically.
Yeah, the only direct payment would for...
Everything's a warrant.
Yeah, well, the insurance, don't we aren't check for some of the, like the FERS and that kind of stuff, right?
That is direct deposit through the county.
Through the county, right. So it is an ACH type of payment, but it's not, yeah, from...
But it's through the
originating,
county
right.
versus me being
It's not originating from here.
Go yeah. online and pay the
right.
charter bill. I don't have that ability.
JJ, you're just asking to make the language...
Permissive so. Instead of restricting you to be within policy. You have to write a check and you have to send it by U.S. Postal Service.
Correct.
And that is probably not... If we just say there's or other means, that
or
you would
means.
Cover it, and then you're not out of policy.
Yeah, so why don't you guys just, I think the fastest way through this is just come up with the tweaks you want. We'll approve an amended policy at the next board meeting.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yep.
Any other board discussion on that? Any other board discussion on changes you'd like to see in policy or bylaws?
6B.
You're on it.
It specifies we're using QuickBooks, and we may stay there, but I think it'd be more clever to leave that generic to be an accounting software. So that we're not out of policy when you change vendors.
Sure. That makes sense.
Any other board discussion? Any public comment? Okay. Thank you, JJ, for paying attention to all that.
I have one more.
Jeez.
And then there's five more after that.
All right. So you got them labeled there.
Now, there is nothing in the travel authorization about how board members get travel authorized. It talks about those guys. But it doesn't say how we have to authorize.
I thought we had the same.
Doesn't mention the board members.
Yeah.
Do we have to ask you?
No. I don't have the policy right in front of me, but I think I worked on that a lot, and the intent was to cover everybody, including board members. So if that's
I just didn't an see
oversight,
we
should just
this.
Amend that one too to include board members.
Well,
board
then
member
we
travel.
Then we have to ask Brian.
No. What's the intent that you're talking about? Just how?
It doesn't address how board members get authorized travel.
Oh.
So if I want to go to a training.
Right, like Ken just went to Great Falls.
Yeah,
right.
Which is no big deal, but.
Yeah.
Right, then it should be talked about.
At a board meeting.
At a board meeting.
Yeah.
So that needs to be added.
Right, because I want to go to Cancun for the Pierce Fire Truck.
Yeah.
Show in February.
Yeah.
That's good. So can you amend that one too? And bring it back to us for...
It does say the policy applies to trustees, staff, and volunteers.
And the policy says I have to authorize, the fire chief has to authorize it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we'd want to say something like trustee travel will be noticed at a regular public meeting.
And approved by the board.
And approved, yeah.
Maybe approved because the trustee is required to come back from their training and give a report. So. Ken did a fun job.
He did.
Ken is a remarkable
well,
guy.
That was where I found out yeah, how good we are. And comparison to some other
yeah.
cops, it.
That was all I had.
Okay.
Thank you. Recent. News stories. Is this just a holdover on the agenda? Why don't you take it off?
Okay.
I don't think we need to do that at the State of the Union. Okay. Moving right along. Bid openings. RFQ for architectural services.
So if you guys remember, we ran this for 4 weeks, and bids were due for due into the fire station on May 6th. So we did get one response. Through TGAS, they are National State of the Art Fire Station Specialist. They are based out of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
So one local guy didn't do it?
This is the only response we got.
Wow.
I did have conversations with a couple local firms that gave various reasons why they were not going to submit. and mainly either due to what they felt was conflict of interest or they're just too busy and they were not willing to take on more work at this time. So depending on what the board wants to do, we can do a subcommittee meeting and review the proposal and then make a decision where we want to go from there. So our next step would have been to do an RFP based off of the submittals, but given that we only have one submittal, an RFP may not be necessary. If we either want to move forward with this company and just get a proposal specifically from them, or we go to fail the search, or the search failed, and kind of reset. So that's kind of the decision. We can kind of, I can call a subcommittee meeting, do it by email, whoever wants to participate, can get this proposal out to those people if they want to read through it and see what this firm is offering, and go from there.
What do you guys think? Board discussion.
I guess given that we only had one response and it's a, I obviously haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but given that we've only had one response, you know, and I guess there's maybe we it would warrant to change our approach a little bit on this. And I think maybe some of the language that we included in the request for qualifications, maybe we should readjust. I think there are two things going against us. We're in an environment where there's a huge amount of building going on, obviously, and I don't know that we really made it clear that we're, you know, looking down the road a ways as well as we could have to make it clear to firms that, you know, this is a project that would be something that they could address, you know, as fill in with their, you know, more time-sensitive projects. And so, you know, I guess I'm thinking that maybe we need to revisit, you know, maybe the committee could get together and revisit our approach on this project. I don't know that I'm comfortable with just one proposal. And I would, you know, using the language that Brian brought, you know, maybe a failed search at this point and reconsider our approach. And, you know, I don't know, maybe our timing is way off too in terms of just how, just the way things are right now. I think people are so busy that they don't even want to look at a lot of these types of projects right now.
They do refer to us as the city of Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it would be at least somewhat recommended that we at least take a look at this and come up with a reasoning why we want to fail the search, just so we don't get them coming back at us saying we didn't consider.
Yeah, I think we owe it to this firm to review and respond to the time and effort they put in to send that to us. But I'm kind of in Walt's camp. One firm is not very good, and I think you're onto something, Walt. We may want to rethink our approach to this. You know, in my mind, an architecture firm like ABC Architecture Firm would say, this is a great project for the most junior staffer in that office because we're just looking for some conceptual thinking, right? We don't need the top dog in that office to be laboring on this while they're building everything else in this valley.
But. And I think maybe from our perspective too, you know, we maybe could have done a little bit better job of clarifying exactly what we were interested in. I don't, you know, looking at it, kind of second guessing ourselves a little bit, I think maybe there could have been more clarity.
More board conversation.
Can you contact those guys and see if they have a PDF of that package?
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
So you don't have to take it apart.
So we can distribute it easier.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does it look like it's customized to us, or is it just a generic
It's pretty generic. Their project experience is all on the East Coast.
Okay.
From Boston to the FDNY, kind of all over the place. But
We're not trying to reinvent fire stations here. Like, we just try to want to go with something that's been successful.
Who's doing Fort Ellis?
So Fort Ellis, the firm did contact me, and I had a conversation with one of their architects, and didn't have anything bad to say about the project. They are doing Fort Ellis' station and Hamilton's fire station, but they were one of them who said they were too busy and not taking on any additional work at this point.
Well, another thing that we should talk about as a subcommittee is if it's just too busy to attract people because we're not in a position to start spending money maybe for 3 to 5 years, what can we do in the interim that would be useful?
Yeah.
Right? So just thinking, spitballing stuff, could the subcommittee get a couple of fire chiefs in for coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about what they've got going on and what they see, that sort of stuff. Or do we just, I mean, you know, one alternative is just let it sit and say we'll come back to this in a year when maybe things are in a little different space. Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly some education we can do. There's some opportunity, even local. I mean, there's a brand new fire station opening in the city. They have plans for a second one. Central Valley has a fairly new station, a couple of stations that have been remodeled recently. Fort Ellis has plans for a new fire station. Gallatin Gateway has plans for a new fire station. Mm-hmm. So there's some education we can do to better prepare ourselves for kind of maybe what we're looking for more directly. And then once we get an architect on board, we're at least a little more educated ahead of the game to... Because there's even... We could go outside of the area. I mean, there's departments that... you know, utilize residency programs that have, I know Evergreen up by Kalispell, they built a station recently that accommodates residents. And we can do some homework of some other site visits we might be able to do just to get more educated on kind of what people have been doing.
In my mind, the architecture firm was just to make sure we were meeting all the standards. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, whoever we work with, if they're not educated, they're going to have to get educated with the NFPA standard of for a fire station. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty hot topic because of the health and safety and cancer prevention, and that's been pushed in the fire service. So.
Well, I think the idea of some combination of you and Chris doing site visits makes a ton of sense. You know, the... as we've discussed here, you know, mixed gender fire stations, is anybody doing that? How's that working out? What does that look like? That's an area that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
So I do think even if we redid it, Walt, which I'm happy to do again, we just write a different description that we do a better job at, like you've said, you know, we highly likely won't get any more responses because if people are saying they're just too busy,
yeah,
you know, then... Like we told you, we were too busy. It doesn't matter. You were nicer this
right.
time. So.
Yeah, I will. I'll see if I can get this in PDF to send out so everybody can review it. And then maybe get a subcommittee meeting just to perform an evaluation on it and get a response to them.
Yeah, and then it sounds like you guys have been thinking a little bit about this. For that subcommittee, just throwing out some of the next steps we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, here are some places, you know, you as chief, I'd personally like to go see.
Sure.
And maybe we just keep rolling that way.
Yeah.
Did you hear from the guy that helped build the Cottonwood station that was here?
Mm-hmm. They did contact me and for what they felt was a conflict of interest, they decided not to submit.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law happens to work for that firm now.
Yep.
So, definitely conflict of interest.
Yeah. But I will say, I mean, along the way, Oren volunteered himself to help with anything that we need. Even though that he's not doing the work, that he would still like to help if we need him to.
Nice. Pay for Volko's trip back up.
Exactly.
Okay, anything else on this? Sounds like we got a plan?
Yep.
Go forward. All right. Now to the fun stuff.
Got money to give and nobody wants it.
Engines.
Got money to give and nobody wants it.
So.
Not really.
I'll kind of go through this. So I wanted to propose to you guys kind of an opportunity to do things a little bit different. Now, we do have a procurement policy that obviously we should make sure we're following. But there is the opportunity to do some cost savings with these new engines by going through a cooperative purchasing group. And Sourcewell, which is the name I put on the agenda, is a company. They're based out of Minnesota, and essentially they're a government purchasing group. They're recommended, they're kind of promoted by the State Fire Chiefs Association. And basically, so what cooperative purchasing is, there's a little video if you guys would like to see it, we'd be happy to play it for you. But essentially, so they're a government purchasing group, and we are still kind of in line with our procurement policy because what Sourcewell has already done is done competitive bidding with different manufacturers. So manufacturers will submit to the RFP that Sourcewell has put out and give them kind of their price range for building a fire engine in this case. And what it does for us, it's a time savings because the RFP process has already been completed, so in a way we don't have to redo it. And it offers us a little bit of a cost savings because, and this, I'll just use Pierce as an example, they've already submitted kind of their price range and they know kind of they can lock in on that that price range. There is no, you have to join Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing to use their contract. There's no cost to us to do that. They make all their money off of basically people utilizing their contract, and they take a percentage of what Pierce pays, and that's how they make their money. So for us, for the user, it doesn't cost us anything. Along kind of what we've already discussed with these trucks, we're kind of looking at somewhat of a specific specification to get more alignment in how our vehicles operate and make it ease of training and ease of operating. So it's kind of another way to not necessarily say we're not interested in what every manufacturer would submit for an RFP, but we kind of have an idea of what we need to best serve us and to make it ease of operations for our people.
And maintenance and troubleshooting and
right.
Yeah.
Operability.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we've definitely found with the trucks that were built almost 20 years ago now is having trucks that are identical makes it a lot easier. I mean, because if one breaks, you know how to fix the next one if it breaks. And if people can drive and operate that one truck, they can drive and operate the other truck. And that's really what we're aiming for is, you're right, we had a truck built in 2019, and we have the opportunity to build two more that are very close in operation to those trucks. And it would just make, again, ease of operations that much easier.
Do you guys want to show us the video? Can we put it on the big screen?
We certainly can, yeah.
So the public can see.
This is where you get to put it on your chair.
Is this podium thing on wheels?
This is very fancy.
What does that look like?
He's going to stand there and hold it, or?
Yeah, stand there and hold it.
Do you need the remote, then?
I do.
I do not know what that is.
They just oh, Doc's got the remote.
Kevin, spit it out.
What?
That's what it is at our house.
Yeah.
No, he grabs it at every chance.
How did you learn to work that glove?
Here's a tabletop.
The cleverest dog in Gallon County, from what I hear.
It's usually right here.
I know.
There you go.
Yeah. Right there. There's your desk.
As a public purchasing agent, what are the two questions you face every day? What do I need to buy, and how am I going to buy it? You probably have folks from your departments coming to you all day long, asking for help in getting them what they want and need to buy, be it thousands of pens, hundreds of chairs, dozens of laptops, a couple mowers, a bulldozer, or even a construction or installation project. You need to buy all these things in a fair and compliant way. When you need to purchase equipment, services, and products, sometimes your departments don't necessarily understand. Whatever they buy needs to be done on a compliant basis, all while satisfying a public bidding process. You need a partner who can help, someone who has vetted the vendors, met strict government regulations, completed the solicitation process to exacting standards, and found the right value. To put it simply, you need someone to help you source your purchase well. And that's why we exist. We're Sourcewell, and we have been a trusted partner for public agencies purchasing for over 40 years. Formerly known as the National Joint Powers Alliance, our job is simple. We do the heavy lifting for you to make purchasing easier, better, and more affordable by combining the purchasing power of many agencies into one large cooperative group. We can satisfy your need to do a competitive bid. So why go through all that work when we've already done that for you? When you're part of Sourcewell, you always have a contract ready to use. You always have access to the right vendor. You always get to choose who you work with. And you always have confidence that we can work with you to satisfy your legal requirements. As a public agency ourselves, our first goal is to deliver value. We leverage our relationships across the country to manage hundreds of contracts worth billions of dollars annually. The result? We aren't just delivering better prices or service. We're helping you impact your local economy and committed to maintaining a sustainable supply chain, awarding to manufacturers who use your local dealers. So if you are looking to source your purchases without having to go through the painful bidding process yourself, and you want your projects to go well, and you know we have all the documentation you need to meet your bid requirements, then we are here to help. Learn more about using our cooperative purchasing solutions at sourcewell-mn.gov.
So that is Sourcewell. So they do offer, obviously, like I said, the ease, right? They've already done the competitive bidding. The other thing that can be a benefit to us and why this was kind of brought to my attention is we can get a cost savings in getting these trucks by utilizing a company like Sourcewell. Because it's kind of guaranteeing, right, that Pierce is going to get the project. So they offer then a discount by utilizing that contract that they've already bid to. So if you look at, and I apologize, these price quotes came in late and weren't able to get into the board packet, but if you look at the two dates, so what this is the May 3rd date is a cost estimate from Hughes Fire if they were to do an RFP for the trucks. And then the May 10th one is what the contract price would be going through Sourcewell. A couple things to look at. So you have the proposal price and then a couple of discount options. So we've kind of talked about in the past, would there some of these we could potentially take advantage of? The less chassis progress payment we certainly could do, the less payment upon completion at factory discount we could do. The 100% prepayment, kind of, and this will come into play when we talk a little more, in the preliminary budget, but we don't currently, if we were going to start this contract now, we don't have the funds to fully fund the trucks at the current time. So that one we may not be able to take advantage of. They do offer some, so the PEC chassis progress payment, if you look further down under payment terms, so that's due 3 months prior to factory completion. And to give you guys an idea, they're right now at a 24-month build time. So we'd be looking at, say we put the order in June next month. We're looking at June of 24 that'd actually be completed. So roughly for that chassis progress payment, that would be due in, say, March of 24. The payment upon completion at factory, that's just saying when we go out to inspect the trucks, when they're done, we're going to give them a check for the remaining balance, and that's what that discount is. The 100% prepayment discount would be we'd fully pay for the trucks next month, which again we don't currently have the funds for. We don't have to make the decision right now, but like I was trying to find, I don't remember off the top of my head if we did a performance bond with the last truck, but we could remove the requirement for performance bond and save a little money there if that's something we want to do. The transportation, I think we can take advantage of that because that's a $10,000 savings. And basically that says we're going to drive the trucks back from Wisconsin ourselves rather than pay them 10 grand to drive them back.
What's the performance bond?
So performance bond is basically, it's kind of a guarantee that they're going to meet their requirements in the contract. Oh. That they're going to build the trucks are going to be built on time and built to the specification. And then for some reason, if they weren't, then we could enact the performance bonds and go after them for that contract.
Seems like a small insurance policy.
It is.
Small amount to pay for insurance.
Yeah. So if you look at the two prices, and I kind of broke this down a little bit.
So really quick, the prepayment discount, if elected, invoice will be provided upon order processing. Upon payment of invoice, payment must be made within 30 days. So in the past when we've done these, do they send us an invoice that quickly?
Yep. So we sign the contract.
And as soon as the invoice that quick.
In 30 days, we'd have an invoice to pay for them.
Well.
Yep.
What's our newest truck? How long ago did we buy a new truck?
We signed the contract in 2018, and we got the truck in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you look price to price, right, so kind of look at what utilizing Sourcewell is going to save us. When you break down, so the proposal price, utilizing the chassis progress payment, utilizing the payment upon completion discount, and the transportation discount, divide that by 2 for price per unit. So if we went with we did an RFP and Hughes did their estimated proposal, we would be looking at roughly $783,730 for one truck. Utilizing the Sourcewell contract, we'd be at $775,499 per truck.
For savings of?
So roughly it's right around per truck, it's roughly $7,200 of savings. So times that by 2, we're right around $15,000 of savings in the project.
And then that's after, this includes their fees then, whatever fees they charge.
Yeah, this would be almost the exact, the May 10th date would almost be the exact price that the contract would be.
So just so I understand the whole RFP process, so if we didn't use Sourcewell, what does Hughes do? Do they say, Brian, I need your specifications?
Yep.
So we can send this out to bid to our subcontractors? Or what are they, why do they need an RFP?
So they would take, so we would put out an RFP and then basically provide them our specification of this is the truck we want to build. And then Hughes, who sells Pierce, would basically go through and say, yes, 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 we can build it, and here's the price we're going to build it at.
Mm-hmm.
And so that step is cut out if we use Sourcewell.
Right.
And we wouldn't get, you know, instead of Pierce, we might get three other fire truck companies that give us options. But if we're accustomed to using Pierce and we like Pierce,
we want to use Pierce.
Then instead of us wasting other builders' time,
right,
when we want to go with them anyways.
Yeah.
And some builders, honestly, if we put this out for RFP, we may not get any other respondents, because they're going to look at it and be like, this is a Pierce truck, and they're not going to waste their time.
Well, I mean, this is why we put that in our procurement policy, that you know, when we wanted to do stuff for operability and all that kind of stuff, we would go with a single vendor repeatedly. So I think that's fine. So
what I was looking for you guys for tonight is just basically an agreement that we'll utilize Sourcewell, and what I'll do in the next month going into the June meeting is I'll complete the application. It's like a week to get our app into Sourcewell, and then and at the June meeting I can bring a contract with Sourcewell of what we need to sign to place the order.
And have you already created what we want?
We have. And that's what Chris and I did basically when we went out.
Okay.
More board discussion?
Sourcewell doesn't then hold you hostage. You have to order pencils from them or something, do you?
No. You can elect to use any of their contracts, and there's no penalty if we just use the one.
Mm-hmm. Any more board discussion? So what I'm hearing is a motion to enter into an agreement with Sourcewell.
How's the increase compared to 2019 truck?
So the 2019 truck, I don't have the exact number, was roughly, before discounts, was $613,000. And then I think with discounts, it was down to $595,000.
Okay.
So if you look at that, each truck is right around $775,000.
So, just asking questions. If we waited the few months until we got enough money to be able to pay in advance to save the $40,000 a piece compared to ordering now, so in our industry right now, pricing's going up so much that even if we waited that long, MSRP has been going up $3,000 a week.
Right.
So on a stupid car, so you know, something this expensive may not be advantageous. But
yeah. We'd have to. Walt and I would actually have to play some numbers to see when we get the amount into our capital replacement to be able to fund it. And that could potentially delay us a year.
Yeah.
It could be delay us 2 years. And like,
whether pricing is going to go up.
Roughly, their pricing's been going up 5% a year. This year it was 7%. And given all the factors that play into it, I can't imagine that it's not going to take on the increases in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So the other negative to that, right, if we wait a year or two to place the order, they're already 2 years out. That delays our delivery of trucks.
Yeah.
And we have to keep the old trucks going that much longer.
So this is jumping ahead just a little bit, but I'll just take a part of that information. I think that'll better answer your question, Justin. Brian put together, if you look at there's one sheet in the budgeting set of sheets that has the 2023 capital replacement. If you look at the bottom of that, there's a table that he put together, and it shows the balance as of April 7th, $946,000 and change in our capital apparatus. And if we were to contribute, this is adding $250,000 to projected. If we were to contribute $568,000 and change into that account, that would put us at 1.5, which is nearly enough. And we could shift, obviously the board has latitude to shift money's out of one of our other capital accounts. So that would put us there, but it would push us down to zero on our apparatus immediately when we made that decision. So there's probably going to be some latitude. We'll come close to meeting that 568, but right now we're at about We're just under 500,000, and that's not including any increases at this juncture to our revenue stream. We're using last year's numbers, which is what we typically do to be conservative on our preliminary, and we wait till August for a final to get an idea of what our tax revenues are going to look like. So it might be a stretch to say that we'd have adequate resources to do that, and it would be it would put us in a little bit of a vulnerable position with regard to what we have left in that apparatus fund.
Right. Yeah, and that's where I was looking kind of for this meeting to get basically the blessing to basically go into Sourcewell, and then pending our conversation about preliminary budget going into June, getting everybody comfortable and give the blessing to enter into the contract.
Okay, so let's have a motion.
Motion to have staff pursue Sourcewell cooperative purchasing agreement.
Second.
Board discussion. Public comment on the motion. Okay, Cheryl.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Great. Sorry it's so dang expensive.
What isn't?
That's tough. Just tough. Okay, Mr. Walt?
All right. Well, we kind of did part of it already. I think Cheryl and Brian and I got together and as a budgeting committee and kind of looked at where we were at that point in time with regard to our spending pattern and what it looked like we were going to finish the year with and tried to project out take our crystal ball and look at things like fuel prices and some of the other items. And get an idea of how much we should adjust our budget. And if you look at the fiscal year 23 budget bullet points, it kind of summarizes all of the changes that we made to the various line items. And so, for example, starting with fuel, based on kind of current price projections and maybe some moderation, hopefully we're not off on the upside, we gave it a 25% increase, which may be a little bit conservative based on, you know, the fuel price increases that we've experienced over the last few months. But I think, you know, we had some room in our initial budget from last year, and typically we've been realizing some savings in our fuel expenditures, so we're hoping that 25% increase in that line item puts us where we need to be. So that's an increase from 36,000 to 45,000 for that line item. Professional subscription dues and fees, we increased that by $7,000. And the majority of that is related to the software that's now in all of the vehicles for dispatching and mapping and so on. And $375 per apparatus. And so it's a pretty substantial cost, but it's a cost of doing business in the modern world. And so that's something that we hadn't had to contend with before. And so that should cover us for all the apparatus then. Utilities, we added 5,000 to it. And hopefully we'll realize some savings on with the solar panels, but that 5,000 should kind of hopefully cover added expenses above and beyond the savings that are a function of the solar panel installation. Professional services, we added another 5,000 based on our spending pattern there. Firefighter physicals, but jump quite a bit, and I don't know, Brian, if you want to kind of go into the justification for that.
Sure. So one thing we started to implement just with the Spring Academy is we're requiring kind of a pre-health screening of all our new members coming on. And it's just kind of a protection for the fire district to say that they've been, had a brief kind of screening medically to say that they can safely make it through the academy. And kind of historically, we've brought them on just kind of with their saying they're okay, and then waited for them to be on for a year and then put them through the full NFPA physical. So this kind of pre-health screening is just kind of a little bit of assurance for us that there's no underlying conditions that have not been brought up that are going to affect them and potentially put us at risk.
Nice.
Which it were. I mean, we actually had one person removed from the academy because of that health screening that was something we were unaware of.
Okay, insurance, we bumped insurance from 70,000 to 75, so added 5,000 there. Personnel, our safety equipment, we added 10,000. Brian looked at the cost of, mostly it was a function of turnouts.
Turnouts, right? Yep.
And so kind of prorating our turnout replacement over time, taking that into consideration, suggested that we should add about 10,000 or so to that specific line item. On personnel expenses, as the board's aware of, when we hired Brian to be our chief, the agreement was that after the first year that he would receive a 5% or near approximately 5% increase. It was just under. And so what we did is we agreed that we would apply that to all of the other staff members. And that goes would be effective post-probation period for each employee. And so when you take all of that that into consideration, it resulted in a little over $31,000 increase in personnel, plus the on behalf, which again is a net zero for the department because we received those monies from the state. The on behalf component is about $35,000, almost $36,000. And so when you look at the numbers, there's about $67,000 increase, but part of that's a net zero, about half of it, a little over half. So when you look at those numbers. So essentially what we're looking at is the operating expenses increased by nearly $115,000. We take all those items into consideration. And again, you can subtract out the nearly $36,000 for on behalf because it's a net zero sort of game that we play with the state there.
Anybody want to make a wild guess on what the tax revenues are going to look like?
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to have
It should be more than what they were last year.
Yeah, it should be more than last year, an increase.
Well, I just had on the top of your spreadsheet, fold out there under income, contributions and donations. We got it budgeted in last year at $500. We realized $42,000.
Right, but
what's all that about?
Most of that was the solar panel. And I think there were a couple of smaller panels. But that's a lumpy thing.
Got it.
It's not very predictable.
Got it. I did not think we did that well on the pancake breakfast.
Right. Yeah. Well, the pancake breakfast. Oh, it's separate. Yeah, that's a separate item.
Wonder dog. And then on the investment earnings. If we're earning so little, why do we budget it at $30,000?
Well, typically, a lot of those monies aren't realized till the end of the fiscal year. So in June, so by the time we evaluate, so that second column gets updated,
gotcha.
Obviously, when we look at our final budget. And that number should be updated because by that time we should have the earnings amount, the interest earnings,
gotcha,
that we receive from the county for our account.
Board discussion.
Do you want
more comments?
The capital.
Yes, actually, if we can go through that a little bit. And so, if you look at the net of operation, that'll be a lead in into Brian. If you look at the net of operation and bond expense, there's about, given, assuming the last year's tax revenue, which again we hope is very conservative, there's about $496,000 left beyond operating and bond expenses. And so with that being said, I'll let Brian kind of go into what he's...
So to just so everybody knows, that is the item that we are, each year we try to allocate to our three capital reserve funds.
That's correct, yes.
Make a decision about. Okay.
Right, thank you.
So if you guys look at the one spreadsheet that I put in there, the fiscal year 2023 capital replacement. So the top piece of that is kind of what we're looking at for spending this next fiscal year. So it'd be replacing Command 6. I have Brush 6-1 chassis. I wanted to list it in there, but I can't actually bring you guys a proposal because of fleet is shut down for everybody. And that's what I'd like to utilize for purchasing that vehicle. So I got a rough number from a couple of different dealers. And put that in there, but that would be pending approval of that project itself. We have a set of extrication equipment, replacing our portable generators, and then scraping a little more of radios and getting a few more new mobile radios, sorry. So in this next year, we'd be looking at spending that $243,750. For capital improvement, some just kind of items we'd like to knock out with the fire stations. Our training building needs some TLC, that it just needs some.
We've been lighting it on fire for 20 years. It needs a little TLC.
It's probably had more use than most training buildings get around the fire service. So we're looking at just doing some repair and replacement of the interior wall stud and coverings, and then getting it sandblasted and the exterior repainted to fix just some where the heat is coming through on it. 2 and 3 are kind of the same. It's to upgrade Ray Station and Cottonwood Station and get actual fixed air compressors with plumbed air lines and drop reels for the apparatus. Currently, if you go in and look at Ray Station, there's a portable air compressor and air lines laying on the floor going to each truck. And Cottonwood's the same type of thing. The gentleman who lived there can tell you how wonderful it is when the portable air compressor kicks on. And
it's like an alarm clock at 7:30.
Number 4 is something we talked about, right? The existing pavement at Cottonwood, getting that sealed and then getting some striping put in. And then installing an AC unit in the Ray House to make it a little better for the next couple of years. So that is the capital improvement proposal, is at $45,000 for the next year. So the next two kind of chunks, and that it's something I wanted to kind of try to plan out and give you guys an idea with these two engines. So both of them are very similar. The top lining is our balance, and when I created it was of April 7th. So that's what we have in capital replacement. The line right below that, projected contribution, so that's according to our capital replacement plan of what we would put in for 2023. And then that $1.2 million is the balance that we'd have. Then you apply the spending from the top, and it leaves us with a little over $1 million balance. And then again, we would have contributions in 24, and gives you the balance right below that. And then, so the estimated spending of 24 would be the full payment of those engines. And I've added in there, Command 6-4 would be due for replacement. Our thermal imaging cameras, what is the TIC, and the AQ is our air quality monitors. So with that first section, what I wanted to show is we would be in the hole by $309,000. Right below that is essentially the same plan, but it's adding more contribution. And it's something that we would have to agree and feel comfortable that we could meet. So it basically add an additional $250,000 to each year. So in 23, that's why it's at $568,000. And then contribution for 24 would be $584,000. Following all the same purchasing, that would leave us a balance of $190,000 in capital replacement. And I just kind of put a note at the bottom, right? The final payments, June of 24, is going to be bumping to fiscal year 25. And the contribution, according to the plan, would, as soon as we started 25, would be $542,000.
That's good information. Thank you for including that.
So Walt and I talked about it quite a bit. We would just have to make sure we're comfortable with planning that much projection to capital replacement, which I feel like what with the discussions we've had, we could meet. We're not spending our full budget. We're saving as much as we can every year to help fund that capital replacement. Like we mentioned, we hope to get some increases with the amount of building that's happening in the district, which will help fund that portion of the budget.
Generally, how are you feeling about the total capital of the district? Are you feeling like we're on a reasonable schedule to replace and stuff? Or are you feeling like, man, we're just hanging on and we've got turnouts going longer than we need to? Just give me a sense of how you're feeling globally about where we are with this.
I think we're doing very, very well. You know, getting these two new engines are going to really set us up looking into the future pretty well. And kind of according to the plan, once we get these engines done, like we've talked about, we have a little bit of relief in the plan for a few years because there's no big purchases. Now, everything we're not replacing is just piling, and it just keeps them getting moved to the plan. And I'm exploring different options of how we can ease that a little bit, of utilizing grants, and just utilizing more cooperation of kind of mutual aid partners to fulfill different needs. So I would say, you know, according to the current plan, we're actually sitting really good. You know, if we get these new engines, our fleet will be looking pretty solid. And then equipment-wise, again, we've knocked out some really big ticket items. The SCBAs we did a couple of years, that's a big chunk. We bought a lot of radios a couple of years ago. That's a big chunk. So I think overall we're looking really well. And once we kind of get to 25, we'll just keep saving and keep building that fund back up. So I think once we hit 2031 is the next big year. That
yeah. Yeah, and so to what Brian's, you know, and I think we're, if you look at those last two tables, and the table that adds the additional 250,000, you know, I think it's likely that we're going to be able to push a little bit closer to that projection, and but it will be at the cost of not being able to contribute to capital improvement and capital repair. So we have to bear that in mind too as we go through this.
For discussion. So just for everybody's edification, capital improvement sits now at 300,000. That's a pretty nice cushion.
Right.
And then building repair is 160. That's okay. So it feels to me like that's a reasonable trade-off to make, to let those funds sit a little bit while we...
Do we have anything, any bigger, you know, siding or any of these on these old buildings, roofing or anything like that, that we need to take into consideration for repair?
I mean, we've talked about for years trying to do something with that old building to improve the look and the function of it, just mainly doing metal siding and a metal roof on it to get rid of. We tell homeowners not to utilize wood shakes, and we have a wood shake building.
But we're a fire department.
Exactly. I mean, outside of that, I don't know. I mean, we talked about window replacement or upgrades at Cottonwood because the windows are in pretty rough condition. But outside of that, I mean, this station is sitting really well. Cottonwood, for the most part, I mean, the improvements we've done to it in just the last year, 2 years, have really brought just the...
And we'd be able to afford windows at Cottonwood if we
right.
went to next year.
I mean, for Ray, given our plan, I don't know that we really should spend a whole lot of money over there until, you know, if we're going to look at replacing it to re-side it or re-roof it, anything like that.
Yeah. More board discussion? Everybody feeling good?
I like it.
Nice work, you two. You three?
Three.
Four. we want to have a motion to approve the preliminary budget?
Right, yep. Motion to approve the preliminary budget as presented.
Second.
Any public comment on the motion? Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yep.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Yes. I just say this gets better and better every year, this whole process. Really, nice work.
Yep.
Okay. Fire Chief's report.
All right. So it keeps getting busier, even though last year May was busier than this year's May for calls. Roster's pretty much staying the same. Residents are still full. There's been actually quite a bit of change that happened in the residency program, which is good. It's good to get some new firefighters in and get that interest back into the system. Non-residents, they're still doing their day shifts. As predicted, it's going to get a little tight during the summer, but I feel comfortable that that's not going to affect operations just based off of our residency program. Training is still happening, as always is, for our regular multi-company training, Wednesday night and command training. We did do a mutual aid training on April 25th. We had people from Bozeman Fire come out, Amsterdam, and the 911 center. And again, that just continues to be a very beneficial thing to offer for our department. And we'll continue that into the future. We just got done with our wildland fire refresher. Mike Multiburn from the city fire department assisted us with instruction on that. So that was enjoyed by everybody. We assisted Central Valley and the city of Bozeman in April with structure fires, and then we also assisted Central Valley with the wildland fire in April. Not much is happening with the ambulance contract for Gallatin County. It's just kind of sitting. The county is going to bring forward a proposal of how to move that forward here in the near future. Spring Recruit Academy is cruising right along, and they should be wrapping up in June. Number 15 is that truck, that brush truck I talked about, and it kind of plays into these new engines because they don't have significant wilding capability. So we have this opportunity to do a hybrid with the DNRC, which would be a great benefit to us. But again, I'm just waiting on pricing and the opportunity to buy a chassis, which is kind of locked down right now because of fleet. So I'll keep working as I can on that.
We can get one at retail. They won't let us have the fleet program.
Right. Yeah.
So it's whether or not you want one now and pay $20,000 more.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So our ambulance transport plan, I think we finally got this in the books. And again, round of applause to Chris. And I feel very comfortable with my decision on my hiring of this individual because he really did just about everything. And all I did was bug him about when it was going to be done.
That's superior executive management right there, Brian.
Both ambulances are ready to hit the road, and are on the road. Everything's pretty well buttoned up with Pintler and ready to start billing. Dr. Beer, our medical control officer, is good to go with our plan. Our training has been ongoing for months now. All the purchases of equipment are done. The issues with the EPCRs and emergency reporting, which EPCR is the electronic patient report, that we need for the billing process has been fixed, and we actually started to do our own transports in April as kind of almost like a just test drive, and we did a few of them, and I think we're pretty much ready to go now that everything with Pintler is ready to go. Chris was just going to button things up with that and make sure we're ready. And we might even have the opportunity to actually go back to some of those April transports and start to submit for payment on them. So moving forward, we should have reports every month of the transports we're doing and kind of reflecting Steve White's spreadsheet of how it's looking. Chris was elected in the fire council as the chair for the training committee. So that's a very good opportunity for Chris and for us, because he's working with all the departments in the county on kind of their training needs.
Great, congratulations.
Yeah.
I did secure through the DoD program a 2015 Polaris Razor side-by-side. And my plan for that vehicle is I'm going to put it on contract with the DNRC, and I'm going to tow it out to wildland fires when I go. And the DNRC is going to pay us for it. And actually, it creates more revenue than a pickup truck does. So it'll just kind of help bring in some additional funding. Thankfully, nobody's been injured in the last month. Engine 6-3 was out of service for several days, four days, in the month of April due to mechanical issues with the pump. Colin was able to get that fixed, and all apparatus are back in service.
Ambulance is working like you hoped?
Ambulances are working, yep.
Yeah.
The transports have gone smoothly as far as the equipment, and it's been going good.
Did they give you the garage door open at the hospital?
We do have garage door open at the hospital.
You're in.
No one's got to get out and knock on the door.
Questions for the chief on the chief's report?
It's wonderful.
Any public comment on the chief's report? Trustee activities. Wildland barbecue.
So generally we aim for the last Wednesday of June, right before the 4th of July, is when we've historically done that, and that date is June 29th. So that's what we're looking at, locking it in.
What time is it? What time?
We started at 4 p.m. and we run it till 7.
At Cottonwood.
At Cottonwood, yep.
Okay. Next board meeting.
21st, sorry.
21st of June. I'm going to be gone. Don't let that stop you.
But Chris will be here.
That's pretty. What, do we have anything big, Cheryl, on the June meeting or at the June meeting?
The June meeting.
Yeah. Do we have any big agenda items that you're aware of?
No. I'll present, changes to policies.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll have contracts ready for Sourcewell.
Yeah, for that. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Chris can.
Chris can do it.
Yep.
What's the date?
June 21st.
Gone.
Two of us gone.
Closes in on quorum issues here.
I can do... The 14th. I could do. It's Tuesday.
Yes.
I could do the 28th.
Yes.
I'm good with either one. 14th would probably be better.
The 14th?
14th work for you, Ken?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. 14th it is.
Is that going to work for you guys?
It might be an issue for staff.
What?
The 28th we could probably do if you guys want to.
Do we need, what do we need to do in June? Review some policies?
Yeah, that's...
Do we need the staff here for that?
Well, we have the source well.
Hopefully we'll have the construction well thing.
Okay, you guys want to do the 28th?
If that works for you, we can make that work.
Done.
Going once?
Yep.
Going twice?
Just find the man.
All right, we'll see you all on the 28th. Thanks very much for all your good work.
Excellent.
Meeting adjourned.